This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here at SUSECON with Michael Miller.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for being here. As your listeners may not know me, my name is Michael Miller. I'm responsible for our strategy, alliances, and marketing functions worldwide here at SUSE. The way I think of that is laying the groundwork and creating the awareness of SUSE products and solutions and prepare the way that we go to market with a large ecosystem of various types of partners.
This is the first SUSECON since you became independent. You no longer have somebody else making decisions for you. You no longer have to look at your products in light of somebody else's larger portfolio. What does that mean for SUSE? And more importantly, what does that mean for the client base?
You've hit on what's really important is what does it mean for the customers and the partners? And really, it means that we can be single-mindedly focused on what our vision, mission, and strategy is and how that creates value for our customers and our partners. And we can do that with a pure, independent frame of mind, unencumbered by larger structures or ownership questions or issues. I do have to say that our prior ownership structure with Micro Focus was actually quite good for us. We had years of strong growth and investment, and then we reached a point at which we were ready to take on this next stage of corporate evolution. So it's the perfect timing for us to now do that, and I'll comment a little bit on what that means. And it was also the perfect timing for them to get value out of the growth that they had helped create with the SUSE business.
If we go back to the Novell days, you were one of the big two, big three Linux vendors right from the start. Last couple of years, even though you've had growth, you've kind of slipped down that chart. What is the strategy to rebuild yourself now back into being in the top two, top three?
We've remained in the top two and three throughout that time. In fact, we've accelerated our growth enormously since the Attachmate Group acquired Novell and we separated SUSE into a business unit. It was obviously part of the larger overall Attachmate Group company. But once we started taking that focused view of the SUSE business, our growth has continued ever since then, at or above market rates. So we've actually been slowly gaining share in the market since that point in time. To continue that and build on that, and I think that's a valid question, what we need to do is look at the changes in the industry and who are those personas, who are those people that we need to get our message in front of and build our connections and relationships with, and that's changing a little bit over time. In the old days, it was very much the centralized IT organization. Then it became the line of business became much more important over time. And now you have a whole new concept with DevOps and sort of a rebirth of IT under a new methodology where you've got IT operations and IT developers with a whole new approach to creating business agility. And we need to be successful at connecting with those new stakeholders and personas and bringing value to them that helps them accelerate their digital transformation initiatives.
DevOps is very big across the whole of the open source movement. There's not a vendor out there that doesn't talk this, but there's always a big gap between the talk and the delivery. So what are customers going to be looking forward to from you in order to deliver on that DevOps promise? And not just DevOps, but DevOpsSec. Also, DevOps for IT management as well.
What they're looking for is to leverage fundamental industry standards and open source standards and open source innovations, like Kubernetes, for example, and build enterprise-ready secure solutions on top of that. What our enterprise customers don't want to do is they don't want to have to just do it on themselves. They don't want to take a purely do-it-yourself approach. They want a vendor and a partner that can help them harness the power of all that open source innovation that's moving really rapidly and iterating very quickly and extract from that an enterprise-ready service and solution that they can put into production and trust in and build on.
But that innovating quickly can come with a bit of a penalty. If we go back to open infrastructure last year, one of your competitors, Red Hat, Nick Barsett, stood on stage and said, this six-month rebuild we do, I want to see that down to six weekly or even less. The problem if you're an enterprise is you don't want that. It's hard enough getting stable at 6 months and maybe 5 months. But if it's your core operating system, that's the point you want stability. Applications, we know we've got to be faster with apps. How do you balance that?
It's a very interesting balance. And in SUSE, we live in both of those worlds simultaneously. In the operating system world, where there needs to be a really structured, careful approach that maintains stability and security over time. And then on top of that operating system layer, you need to provide this highly iterative, fast-moving, almost continuous delivery model that aligns with what application developers are doing. Mm-hmm. creating the latest and greatest cloud native solutions that are literally being redeployed with new capabilities daily, weekly. And so finding that balance is very interesting. When we look at our business, we have this blend of different approaches to different elements of the portfolio. So that as you move from the operating system business where we have certain approach to building, delivering, and supporting, and you move towards the application delivery end of the portfolio, the way we build, deliver, and provide service changes to address those different constituents. And on the application delivery side, for example, we're much nearer to a continuous delivery approach that aligns with those constituents are doing themselves.
There's still a question of how do you square the speed. At one end of your business, you're one of the main Linux providers for IBM mainframes, IBM Systems E. Those are not customers who are really keen on the idea of change the operating system regularly. But what you can't afford to do is maybe find your customers in a cloud provider environment are 6, 7, 8 versions removed from that, because these clients now are no longer on the mainframe and static and separated. They are part of that cloud environment. They are looking for that same acceleration, that speed. They just have a different view on what stability means. How do you square that circle?
Actually, that's a really good example, because to address exactly that market demand, that interest, that need, we did something very unique with Microsoft in the Azure team, where we do what we've been calling an Azure-tuned kernel. A version of SUSE that's offered on the Azure infrastructure, where we actually accelerate the rate at which we downstream new technology into that kernel that's optimized for that Azure environment, so that that fast-moving market segment that wants to consume the latest and greatest, most optimized offering can do that. And we collaborate with Microsoft on the upstreaming of those optimizations, much of which they upstream themselves. They're very active now upstream. And then we've accelerated the downstreaming of that into a mutually supported enterprise-grade offering on Azure. At the same time, we continue to offer the traditional kernel and operating system. So it's a way to try to create the offerings that appeal to those different market segments and constituents that are looking for different things.
If we look at the big enterprise apps, that's also a significant challenge, isn't it? You've got a great relationship with SAP. They themselves are struggling heavily to understand what cloud means. How do they move to cloud? How do they move their customers to cloud? How do you fit into that? What do you offer them?
Part of what SAP has really figured out is that a multi-cloud strategy is important to them and to their customers. We've worked fairly closely with them, and one of the things that we work on together is being able to provide solutions and choice across multiple cloud environments. They don't just offer their solutions in their own SAP-based infrastructure and cloud. They offer it across a variety of cloud service providers, and then we work together to do that with them and to optimize that offering for each of those cloud providers' environments. Another great example on that is one of the announcements this week is the SAP large instance offering that we are doing with Microsoft Azure, which is first of its kind, tailored offering for a specific hosted hardware configuration to really scale super large instances in that environment. That's one of those examples of how we work together with them to address that part of the market.
You talked there about multiple clouds, and multiple clouds is the challenge for a lot of customers. But part of that challenge for them is being able to move workload. We've tried it with VMs, hasn't been successful. We're now trying it with containers. You talked about wanting to be agile, deliver that continuous capability to them. How do you now become the place for people to put those containers and those workloads?
I do think that containerization provides a new opportunity for creating that workload mobility that we've all talked about for years. Doing that with VMs is much more complicated than it sounds. Doing that with containerization, I think, is a real opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so we provide a container as a service offering ourselves that can be utilized in multiple clouds, but also to really make sure that mobility is possible for our customers. We also provide technologies like our Cloud Foundry platform as a service offering mm-hmm. on top of anyone else's certified Kubernetes architecture. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you could use our application delivery technology and you can run that on top of more than one service provider's Kubernetes architecture rather than being locked into one and being stuck in one cloud or being stuck with one vendor. That ability to create a best-of-breed architecture, that mix and match, build for purpose, to me, that's part of what open source is all about, is making that possible. And that's part of our philosophy. You can use our container architecture, you can use our application architecture, or you can use one or the other and mix it with somebody else's. Whatever helps you drive your business initiative, we're going to make those mix and match decisions possible.
One of the challenges with those mix and match is the risk of dependencies. People bring in a technology, they like a technology, it delivers a solution for them at a point in time. But when they then try and deploy that at scale, they suddenly find they can't. How do we do a better job to deliver scalable solutions to people?
Well, I think that's part of the challenge now. As technology innovation accelerates faster and faster, we create, as an industry, more and more new things, and we get so excited about what they can enable us to do that we dive in there before we've necessarily solved some of the scaling problems. So a lot of early stage technologies are great for experimentation, for development, for proof of concept, and allow you to really start to create some amazing things. And then when you start to scale them up in production, you start to run into those day two, day three challenges. Mm-hmm. It's very important, both as an industry and as open source community creators and stewards and contributors, we really think about those day two and day three considerations. And we work just as hard upstream to solve those problems as we do to create that initial exciting new technology. There's still a lot of that to do around some of these container management and orchestration areas. There's still some maturing to be done, and there's still some things that we all need to work on together to take it to that next level.
How do we, to use a phrase, contain customers when it comes to taking on the latest thing? We're barely out of nappies when it comes to containers, and already we've got serverless. And we've got three or four other technologies beating on that door saying, look at me, look at me. And we know that customers are going to want to look at them. But one thing that falls by the side regularly is security. Now, with Kubernetes, we've seen a massive sea change here. Security has been something people have started talking about already, right at the beginning of the journey. But with all these other technologies changing, what pressure does that put on you as a vendor to actually say, well, hang on, we've got to, in one way, slow customers down in order to harden and secure this. But in other ways, we've got to actually meet their demand for the latest, the next shiny thing.
Yeah, it's very challenging. And as you say, there's been an acceleration of innovation in the last decade where the next thing seems to be emerging even before the current thing is matured. And I don't think that's going to stop. And that creates unique challenges. It puts the onus on us, SUSE and other vendors, to do two things. One is, I think we have to be an open, direct, consultative partner to our customers, mm-hmm. where we help them understand the true state of the technology, understand what they're trying to accomplish, and help to get them there in an open and transparent way, where we're not overselling the capabilities of new technologies. And then on the other hand, at the same time, we're working very diligently to transform their business requirements into upstream capabilities. We have to do both of those things at the same time in a balanced way. If we just focus on one or the other, it doesn't work. We really have to focus on both.
What does that mean for partners? Because we've talked about customers and we've talked about applications here. What we haven't really touched on is the partner ecosystem. Now you're independent, they become a very critical source for you. How do you see yourselves expanding your work, and how do you see yourselves growing that partner network?
We've always been very partner-oriented, so it's really deeply rooted in our DNA and our business culture. The vast majority of our business and our go-to-market is touched by one or more partners of various kinds, whether that's hardware partners, CSPs, service systems integrators, it could be ISVs, or even IT developers. There's this ecosystem of different types of partners, so we're used to living in that world, that ecosystem-oriented world. Everything we do, we think about how does that fit into the ecosystem. Even before we start building something, we think about what's the ecosystem for that going to be, and who would we need to bring together to make that work. And as we move forward into some of these areas we're talking about, some elements of those ecosystems are going to need to become much more prominent, and we're going to have to build programs and levels of engagement with a whole new set of ecosystem partner stakeholders than we have in the past. If you compare it to the pure operating system days, where there was a lot of relationship with hardware partners. And now as we move forward into this application delivery phase, we need to have much more mature and thorough partnership ecosystems with application developers, IT developers, who are not only building the next generation of cloud-native applications, but also the IT operators that still have to maintain and live with and run their existing applications, and they have to do all that at the same time.
One of the keys to that is certification. Not just certification of product, but certification of individuals. But it also requires that certification is worth something. One of the challenges for Novell in its latter days was what was once seen as the gold standard, a CNI, suddenly wasn't really seen as being important at all. Other programs took that over and drove it forwards. You have an opportunity now to obviously reset everything you've done in the past. How do you see yourselves building multiple tiers of certification? So certification for application partners, certification for platform partners, certification for developers and for administrators that have enough value that they can go from job to job and see an uplift for getting that certification.
Understanding of those different constituents and levels and layers of certification is important. There is no single one-size-fits-all certification across these different types of technologies, different constituents. We take a multi-facet approach to that, where we work hard at understanding what those different needs are. And then secondly, I think something that's a little different in the last, let's say, 5 years or so, is that some of our open source communities and foundations are really starting to embrace this idea of certification as well. That provides a place where we can almost treat some of the foundational knowledge building and certification work as part of the upstream, not as something that every vendor tries to replicate and reproduce. If we work together within the scope of a foundation or project to create these baseline certifications that are really thorough and that they're common across any certified version of that technology, that's a huge value for whoever receives that certification. And then on top of that, sure, there's going to be elements of which, as one vendor versus another, you downstream that technology and you add additional capabilities, there'll be an additional certification that pulls in those specific capabilities of your distribution, for example. But that foundational certification can be something that's common and shared and then forms a foundational value. Then, say, an engineer you carry with you regardless of whose technology you're engaging with.
As we kick off SUSECON, what are the big announcements people are going to see from stage and throughout this week?
There's a range of different types of announcements. On the corporate side, talking about this newly found independence of the SUSE business and what that means. Why does that matter for our customers and partners? You're going to hear a lot about that. You're going to hear about some of the things I referred to earlier, the really interesting co-innovation that we're doing with SAP and Microsoft Azure to optimize for large instances. You're going to hear some of the things we're doing around multi-cloud enablement by making sure that SUSE technology is available across all major CSPs. So there'll be a range of different types of announcements from product to corporate to partnership.
Sounds like a busy week.
Indeed.
Thank you for your time, Michael.
Thank you.